Well, Jackie Road is just a place where we can have some fun. Well, I'm having fun at Jackie Road, doing cool interviews and writing songs.
Hey, this is Jack Post, and you're listening to the Jackie Road Studios podcast. And this is last week's song, In Full, streaming everywhere now, inspired by my chat with Andy Lee. It's called Thanks for Tuning In.
This is a story of a former glory, a radio DJ who doesn't play the songs no more. He no longer broadcasts, but everyone he walks past, he'll tell the time it's 10 to 9 and does the weather forecast. Thanks for tuning in. Now he's driving and he's streaming top 40 hits and talking in the bits between them. That's the new one from Ed Sheeran. He back announced the track despite the fact no one could hear him. He doesn't seem to care, he's not on air, he's not aware. The show he's on has come and gone, he's throwing to another song that nobody will hear and nobody will care. He says, thanks for tuning in, but nobody's there. Yeah, in the morning, he'll just start talking. Gives out his own phone number, wonders why nobody's calling. He's got prize giveaways to improve his ratings. He played Beat the Bomb against his mum and she won all his savings. He doesn't seem to care, he's not on air, he's not aware. The show he's on has come and gone. There's no point playing Beat the Bomb when nobody will hear and nobody will care. He says, thanks for tuning in, but nobody's there. If a radio DJ speaks in the woods and nobody's around to hear what he says, does he make a sound? Does he make a sound? Does he even exist? And now he's shopping, he's buying sneakers. Elton John comes on, his song is playing through the speakers. He tells the staff, it's my pleasure to put the classics on, and it's all thanks to the Nissan Navara-thon. He doesn't seem to care, he's not on air, he's not aware. The show he's on has come and gone. There's no Nissan Navara-thon, and nobody will hear and nobody will care. He says, thanks for tuning in, but nobody's there.
That song is called Thanks for Tuning In. As I said, you can stream it most places now, anywhere where you stream music. Also, the lyrics are up at YouTube along with the clip that's streaming there. You can search Jack Post on YouTube to watch any of the interviews from about Nikki Glaser's episode onwards when I started filming them in full, including Andy's episode, which was the most recent episode and was the inspiration for this song, Thanks for Tuning In. Good news, before I tell you how I made that song, I'm back in Jackie Road Studios proper, which is cool. If you're a regular listener of the podcast, you'll know that we had to move Jackie Road Studios into a temporary Airbnb while they built a train line outside of our house and shut the whole road down for 3 months, kicked us out of home. I'm officially sitting back in Jackie Road Studios now, and it was actually a great chance to redesign the room, so move my desks around a little bit. I got these cool acoustic panels now. I got some houseplants in here that Bianca helped me choose. It's very nice in here. The Jackie Road Studios 2.0 is very lush. Just in time for this series to come almost to an end. Only a few episodes to go. My guest next week is Christian O'Connell. And then I'm still not sure if Christian's going to be the last guest or if we'll fit one more guest in, but that will take us up to 12 songs or 13 songs if we have another guest. I said I'd go between 12 and 14 songs to get a full album by the end of the year, which we will have the full album will be available at the end of the series. But if you want to get all the Jackie Road Studio songs together at the moment, then on Spotify, I've made a playlist called Jackie Road Studios, which you can sign up to. Well, you don't sign up to. I think you just follow it. But you can listen to all the songs from this podcast back to back, including this most recent one, which I'll tell you how I made.
How did he make it?
Welcome to behind the scenes of this latest song. It's called Thanks for Tuning In. Hello to all my peers in the radio industry who would hopefully get the lyrics. I mean, I hope everybody got the lyrics to the song. I started on a weird zigzag with Andy Lee's song this week because I had a bunch of ideas written down for different paths that I could take to write this song about. And it started, I'll go back to voice notes where I capture my ideas always for the first time. And there was a part in Andy's episode where I talked to him about accidentally doing a fart at the kitchen sink. And then he asked if I fart in front of my partner. And this this song is simply called Farting in Front of Your Partner.
Farting.
So that second part was just nonsense, but I guess the idea, I've got the keyboard open here, but like, farting in front of your partner, blaming the chair on your fart, or blaming the dog on your fart. But that is completely immature, especially for somebody who turns 33 next week. Can't be singing songs about farts. So I moved on to a song about Andy and his trumpet. So I like the idea that Andy said his band can tour without him. And I asked him who replaces him when they're on tour, and they just don't replace the trumpet player. They just don't need him. So this song doesn't have lyrics, but I was trying to come up with a trumpet based melody that would hopefully be incorporated into some song about the band not needing the trumpet player. So that is me mimicking the sound of a trumpet with my mouth. How does he do it? So I like the idea of that, and I like the idea of getting an actual trumpet on the track, but when I started writing about a band who didn't need their trumpet player, it kind of got boring. Then I was getting really lost. So that's two ideas in the bin, and then I'm starting to really get like, you know, waste all my time in just choosing a subject to write about rather than actually writing it. The other thing Andy and I talked about was I was telling him I go on naps and wake up from a nap really disorientated. Then Andy started using this analogy about a caveman who outruns a mammoth, and if he had to outrun a mammoth for days on end, you know, he uses all his adrenaline to keep him awake, and then he'll catch up on his sleep after he runs away from the mammoth. So I don't know where I was going with this, but I essentially started writing a song about a caveman and what his life would be living in a cave, outrunning a mammoth. The chords I used for this song end up becoming the chords for the Thanks for Tuning In song, which is the final song. But here is the caveman story. I guess this would be some sort of chorus or pre-chorus.
I haven't been getting enough sleep. I keep turning my rock pillow in the night, and the fire is too bright. Can we turn it down? But my wife is too cold. Fuck my life. Something, something.
That's funny. No, it wasn't really funny. So that's why I dumped that. Then I've got another bit about a mammoth. I don't even think this is worth playing.
Let's be
Yeah, that was some. I mean, I like that melody. Last thing that I fucking need is a mammoth chasing me, or whatever it is. When you start writing a verse about a caveman who's out running a mammoth, you just dry up really quickly for things to write about. When I finally came back to this idea, that Andy said that he still loves to listen to Top 40 radio, and we joked about him, you know, not being able to give up the lifestyle of being a radio announcer, and he has to back announce the songs. So that's where the thanks for tuning in idea started. This is the first thing I put into voice notes with that idea.
This is a story of a former glory, a radio DJ who went away and then got bored. He something, some something, burning hand, and he started do something, something with his friends. Now he's driving and he's streaming top 40 hits and death in this between the burning.
So I just mumble there to fill space for what will hopefully become a verse, and what did become this.
Now he's driving and he's streaming top 40 hits and talking in the bits between them. That's the new one from Ed Sheeran. He back announced the track despite the fact no one could hear him.
So I had those that verse idea first. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. And I like that rhyming pattern. It's like a, I guess it's an A-A-B-B-A rhyming pattern. This is a story, glory, radio DJ who didn't play the songs no more. He, even though more he is a bit cheating, but so the first line, second line, and the fourth line rhyme, and then there's like a little mini rhyme inside that sandwich. And then again, in the second part of the verse, it's like broadcast, walks past, and then finishes with weather forecast.
No longer broadcast, but everyone he walks past, he'll tell the time it's 10 to 9 and does the weather forecast.
Tell the time 10 to 9 is like the mini rhyme inside the rhyming pattern. Don't know what that's called, but makes it a fun challenge to write the verses like that because there's so many rhymes involved in it. Because this song doesn't have a lot of production to it, I mean, it's just guitar and vocals, I'll just go through the different sections and explain how I wrote them rather than really talk about technically how I recorded this song.
Now he's
if you want to know, it's just two guitars left and right. I'll get them up. So playing the guitar, all this should be coming out, all of the left speaker. And then this exact same thing coming out the right speaker, and it just, when you play them together, sounds fuller. So I needed a chorus, and I already had the chords from that caveman song, which is D minor, G, C, A minor. And in the caveman song, I think the melody's pretty similar. I was like, I haven't been getting enough sleep, I've been turning. And in this it's like he doesn't seem to care, he's not on air, he's not aware the show he's on, he's come and gone, he's throwing to another song. So it's kind of the same melody, but because the radio DJ song has more words in the chorus, it comes up with this really cool rhythmic pattern where it's like da na na da na na da 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 na na da da na na da da na na da da na na da da na na. He's not aware the show he's on has come and gone. He's throwing to another song. So I was really happy with that. Like, I like, I've talked about in a couple of the songs that I've done where it's more like a rap song than it is a melodic song. But finding like, I think it's one thing that's cool to like rhyme your verses or your choruses. But when you get this like rhythmic consistency, I like that, and I was super happy with it in this. He doesn't seem to care, he's not on air, he's not aware. Sounds like this.
He doesn't seem to care, he's not on air, he's not aware. The show he's on has come and gone, he's throwing to another song that nobody will hear, and nobody will care. He says, thanks for tuning in, but nobody's there.
And that's the chorus. I had a few different, I had trouble coming up with the end of the chorus. This is what it sounded like for a little bit. See, I mean, I mumbled my way through that because I didn't have lyrics correctly written, but instead of going back to that D minor, nobody will hear, it went to an F, nobody will hear. Then I don't even know what that part was. And then introducing a whole new chord. And that was meant to be the radio DJ who never gave it away. The radio DJ who never gave it away. And I knew I didn't like that, but that was essentially a placeholder for a long time in the song before it became this.
Nobody will care. He says, thanks for tuning in, but nobody's there.
And I've talked about that technique before on the show. I've used it in another song, My New Voice, earlier on. But going from a major chord to the same minor chord, so it's like an F major into an F minor.
Thanks for tuning in.
And it's also the only place in the song where I harmonize with myself.
He says, thanks for tuning in.
So the two harmonies there are this.
Says thanks for tuning in.
Not pitch perfect. And this.
Thanks for tuning in.
And together.
He says thanks for tuning in.
And with the whole song.
He says thanks for tuning in.
So I liked highlighting that part of the song, which became the title of the song, and having that as the only highlight with the harmonies in it. I guess you would call these some sort of harmonies as well. What became the bridge.
If a radio DJ speaks in the woods.
Can you hear them underneath there?
He says, does he make a sound? Does he make a sound? Does he even exist?
So they were just R's and O's that followed the chords, and the chords are just A minor and G. Back and forth.
If a radio DJ speaks in the woods,
and the O's and R's are just going, ah, oh, and I layered them up. I've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there's a couple of low ones, a couple of high ones. And then pushed them left and right. I'll play them on their own. Just a second.
Oh, 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 oh.
And again, they're not perfect, but when you put them all together, they kind of sound, you kind of get away with it. I think anyway. So the bridge sounds like this.
If a radio DJ speaks in the woods and nobody's around to hear what he says, does he make a sound? Does he make a sound? Does he even exist?
Cool. So as I said, A minor, G, and then it finishes on that same F major to F minor chord transition.
Does he even exist?
Before going back into the third verse.
And now he's shopping, he's buying sneakers. Elton John comes on, his song is playing through the speakers.
I really do like that the Elton John comes on, his song is playing through the speakers in this verse. I love chipping away at a series of lyrics like that until you find this like perfect combination. You're like, oh yeah, that sits so well together.
Playing through the speakers, he tells the staff, it's my pleasure to put the classics on, and it's all thanks to the Nissan Navarathon.
Now, we've had some great guitar solos on the show so far, and for those, I have gone outside of my own abilities to a couple of great guitarists, and I'll thank them again. Aaron Shembri, who was on the Ballad of the Kid Who Wasn't Allowed to Watch The Simpsons. Then Adam Heath, who did the great solo on the most recent episode with Hamish and the Work Experience song. This one is all me. That's why it's so basic. Something like that. I don't know. Sometimes the best solos are the most simple ones.
He doesn't seem to care. He's not on air. He's not aware. The show he's on has come and gone. There's no Nissan Navarathon, and nobody will hear. And nobody will care. He says, thanks for tuning in. But nobody's there.
Cool. Guys, that's the song. There's not a lot more I can say about it this week because there's not a lot of production elements on it. But I really am super proud of that. I think it's the best written song lyrically that we've done in the series so far. Thanks to all the feedback that I got for it. It's easily been one of the most popular episodes that we've done on Jackie Road Studios and the most popular song. So thanks for everybody who reached out this week, and let's get into your emails.
It's time to read your emails. Read your emails.
JackieRoadStudios@gmail.com is how you can email the show. There were two talking points to kick off the email section of the podcast this week, inspired by the chat with Andy. The first was cool teachers, and the other was embarrassing interactions with celebrities, which inspired this email from Kroger. Hello, Kroger. He says, Jack, I'm a 6'4", bald, stocky man, but when I was 18, I was a slender boy. I just like the cadence of your email, Kroger. When I was 18, I was a slender boy trying to grow a fro because I loved Guy Sebastian. After Guy won, he did a signing at Rundle Mall. I guess that's after he won Australian Idol. And Guy is from Adelaide. So he is your hometown hero, I guess, Kroger, especially when you're 18 years old, looking up to the froed angel that is Guy Sebastian. After he won, he did a signing at Rundle Mall. I lined up for 8 hours and it was 42 degrees. 8 hours. Were you the first person in line and the only person in line until an hour before it started? I mean, I know that first season of Australian Idol was popular, but 8 hours in 42 degree weather. When I finally got up to the stage to meet him and get the album signed, I went to hand him the physical album, but was so nervous, I dropped it on the table and it broke apart. Guy laughed and put it back together and signed it. He handed it back to me, but I forgot to clutch it and it fell straight through my hand and broke apart again. Guy laughed, a little less this time, and put it back together and gave it to me. This time I clutched it, but then as I was moving my arm away, I dropped it again. Oh, that teenage awkwardness when you start to literally overthink basic motor skills, and instead of just moving your arm, you think, okay, move your arm away. Move your arm away from Guy Sebastian at a normal rate. So the album dropped again. This time Guy looked at his security guard with a facial expression telling him to help him. The security guard grabbed all the album pieces, didn't put them back together, but instead swiftly escorted me off stage. Knowing how I am these days, I'm shocked that it's me in this story. But hey, 2003 was a crazy time. Hashtag go the fro. Love your work, mate, Kroger. I wonder how many afros in 2003-2004 Guy Sebastian did inspire. But he would still be, you would argue that Guy Sebastian is still the best product of any of the singing competition shows that we've had. I can't think at the top of my mind who's been more successful and had a longer lasting career than Guy Sebastian winning that very first Australian Idol. And are they bringing Australian Idol back? For a different time, for another time. Francesca Pelquest Hunt. Hey, Jack, I loved the thanks for tuning in song, exclamation mark. Thank you, Francesca. I have an embarrassing celebrity story. The situation occurred when I was 10. It would have been around 1998. My sisters and I were very obsessed with the band Boyzone. One day, the band did an autograph signing at Chatswood, Westfield. I never went to... I mean, Francesca, like Kroger, you've lined up for one of those signings in the shopping centre. I can't think if I ever went to one of those signings in a shopping centre. I definitely have walked past them in the past, but I don't know. I can't remember lining up for anybody. The Boyzone members were sitting behind a long table and you had to line up and they would allow a few people at a time to get posters or CDs signed. And back then you were allowed to hug the band members, which I don't think you would be allowed to anymore. When it was my turn, I leaned in to hug Ronan Keating. And my backpack, one of those small and purposeless fashion statement ones, slipped off my shoulder, colliding with a full glass of water that spilled all over Ronan's lap. He had to leave the autograph signing to get changed. And the rest of the diehard fans in the line were pretty angry that Ronan had to leave early. Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you're lining up like Kroger did for 8 hours and you want to meet your favorite Boyzone member, Ronan Keating, and then Francesca spills water all over his front and he has to go off stage. And, you know, you're a kid who's telling the security guard, I want to hug Ronan Keating. When's he coming back? Those things are like factory lines where they just, you're on a conveyor belt and get through, go through, get your CD signed, get your poster signed, hug Ronan Keating, go through, go through. Can't remember who else was in Boyzone. I got a feeling there was one more famous member of Boyzone. Jono, John C. also writes in about embarrassing celebrities. Hey Jack, this was actually my mum. We were out in Darling Harbour, Sydney, and my mum was so excited to see Hugh Grant out and about. She yelled out, oh my God, it's Hugh Grant, and asked for a photo with Hugh Grant. It was Hugh Jackman. It was Hugh Jackman. He never corrected her, Jono. Jono, Francesca, and Kroger, you all go into the draw to win the world's fastest guitar. Cool Teachers was the other talking point this week. Andy told us that great story about his science teacher who put all science aside for one day so they could play the 20-cent game across the workbenches in the science room. This one comes in from Josh Watson. In Year 9 at our school, our science teacher, Mr. Hicks, had our class do a science experiment which apparently related to tectonic plates. Basically, we made our own chocolate bars by melting down Cadbury milk chocolate and throwing in whatever lollies we liked into the mix. At the end of the class, everyone had their own custom-made chocolate bars. Yeah, what is... I'm struggling to see how that explains tectonic plates. Maybe if you rubbed the chocolate bars up against each other? Is that how tectonic plates work? Mr. Hicks was never able to do it again because it didn't fit in with the school's health food regulations or something like that. I still look back on it fondly and I feel sorry for all the students who missed out on that science lesson. He said, FYI, I think my chocolate bar had gummies and Skittles through it. Ah, yes, like the famous gummies of the South American tectonic plate rubbing up against the Skittlefield North American tectonic plate. Regards, Josh Watson. Oh, regards. Must be nice. This comes in from Peter Bryant. Hey, Jack, loving the pod. On the topic of cool teachers, we had an automotive studies teacher in year 11 and 12 that, in a similar way to Andy's teacher, had an if you can't beat them, join them attitude. Being a class full of teenage boys, we were all pretty obsessed with car racing and PlayStations. Our lessons usually consisted of us all bragging about our best times on the V8 supercar game on the PS1. After many arguments, the teacher decided the best way to settle it was to have a PlayStation challenge. This didn't just get us out of work for a lesson, but a whole day, as it included four different races and culminated in a final 30-lap race at Bathurst, complete with driver changes. We also did pit stops where we had to scull a can of Coke and change our shoes. Fuel in brackets, he says, that's fuel and tyres, before our teammate could take over. This elevated Mr. Barnett to legend status amongst the boys. Yeah, of course it would. A whole day playing PlayStation and slamming Cokes. I was not on the winning team after my teammate buckled under the enormous pressure in his final driving stint, but I do remember the day fondly. Pete, could you get away with that stuff anymore? I mean, at school you used to do your lesson and then you wouldn't ever talk about it. Even something as great as that, like we had a full day of racing and PlayStation at school instead of doing the classes, you would still come home from school and your mum and dad would go, oh yeah, what did you learn at school today? What did you do today? Oh, nothing, just the usual. So you never used to tell anybody what you actually got up to in school. I wonder now with social media and stuff, if you put on Instagram or TikTok that you spent the whole day playing PlayStation instead of doing science, if the teacher would get in trouble. Current teachers who listen to this podcast, tell me if you could get away with that now. Last one comes in from Nicholas Kickbush. Cool name. Nick says, hey Jack, in grade 12, my homeroom teacher was pretty cool. As a bargaining tactic to get the class to be quiet while she read the roll, once a month she would buy the class McDonald's for breakfast. That is a legendary move. I mean, I thought the Slurpees was good. McDonald's breakfast for the whole class, that gets you a raffle ticket. I mean, of course, Pete and who was the other guy? Oh yes, regards, Josh Watson. You guys get raffle tickets as well for the end of season competition, which isn't far away now. You can win a $1,500 guitar sent to us by Yamaha, the world's fastest guitars. It is the RS720B. All you have to do is get your email read on the show. JackieRhodesStudios@gmail.com is how you get involved with the show. Or you can rate and review the pod on iTunes, then send me a screen grab of you having done so to the same email. And I will give you a raffle ticket, which I'm still trying to get my hands on, one of those big barrels that you used to see on Kids WB. We put all the names in there and then we pick one out at the end of the season. I'm super excited to give away the guitar. It is back in its case, ready to be delivered at the end of the season. One last email comes in from Aiden Grant, just defending Rob Thomas. Andy and I were having a laugh in the episode that Rob Thomas, when he was on Hamish and Andy, I remember behind the scenes, Rob claimed that Smooth was the biggest song ever. Not the biggest song right now, not the biggest song of its time, but the biggest song ever. Aiden says, believe it or not, Smooth is actually the second biggest song in the world. So Rob Thomas was kind of right. Well, he wasn't kind of right. He said it was the biggest. According to Billboard, it's the second most successful song of all time. Here's the top five. The Twist by Chubby Checker. Smooth by Santana and Rob Thomas. Mac the Knife by Bobby Drain. Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson. And How Do I Live by Leanne Rimes. They calculate this by working out how long the song spent at number one. 12 weeks at top spot across 2 years, 1999-2000, for Smooth by Rob Thomas. 12 weeks at number one actually doesn't sound like that much. And what the hell is Mac the Knife by Bobby Drain? Let's have a listen to Mac the Knife. This song is from 1959. Is Mac like macking on? Is that an Australian thing only, or maybe even a Victorian thing? Is like pashing somebody, like making out with somebody, you macked on with them. So is Bobby Drain speaking about kissing the knife? Oh, it's Bobby Darin. I think Aiden's autocorrect got hold of him on YouTube. It's Bobby Darin. This is Mac the Knife.
Oh, the shark babe has such teeth there.
I've never heard this.
And it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe. And it keeps it out of sight.
This is the third biggest song of all time. I've now literally never heard this. Let's skip in a bit.
Five will get you ten, old Mackey's back in town.
I think that's the chorus. All right, sounds good. Maybe you have to listen to it a couple of times to really get the flavor of it. Never heard of Mac the Knife. Sorry to everybody who has and really respects it as the third biggest song of all time. But that list again, The Twist by Chubby Checker, Smooth by Santana, Mac the Knife by Bobby Darin, Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson, How Do I Live by Leanne Rimes. Thank you, Aiden, who works in the radio industry, for clearing that up. Aiden can also have a raffle ticket for the world's fastest guitar. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. My guest on the show next week is Mr. Christian O'Connell, who I've been doing the breakfast show on Gold with for the last 2.5 years. I'm really excited to do the episode with Christian. He's great fun. He's been a great mentor to me, and I can't wait to deliver the episode to you guys next Monday. Thank you for listening to Jackie Road Studios.
Well, Jackie Road, it is now closed until the next episode. So here's an outro for Jackie's show, so Andrew knows that it's the end of the podcast.
Jackie Road Studios is a way of life.